Scrolling through Twitter, I need to like change it and go back to OpDeck. But it's just like, America is fucking hot garbage. This is why we need like the federal fucking states of Robert Stan. I need to just be emperor of the US. There's just so many things like these other, like fuck China. I don't like the Chinese government, blah, 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 you know, up and down the line. Free Hong Kong. But there's so many things that these totalitarian governments do better. Fucking Disney World. They had a Hong Kong Disney, slight uptick in COVID cases. Hong Kong, close. Shut it the fuck down.
Yeah.
They're just like, nope, not doing this. Not doing this bullshit. Udunzo. Well, in Orlando right now, motherfuckers are just hacking the tune to It's a Small World. Just
how much do you want to bet that they put tiny little colorful color coordinated masks on all the It's a Small World dolls?
Oh no.
Oh, I bet they did.
Probably did. That feels like they did.
So much work. Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's probably somebody they made come in, an essential worker.
God damn it. I feel
Think
so
about
bad.
That.
You know all those dolls that. Are we're like Disney. Because we're Disney freaks.
Disney food blog with AJ.
I know. Like we saw like the Disney short where like the lady who like meticulously handcrafts like each one of those. Like Small World animatronics, like all the work it takes to like do one of their fucking like little.
It takes 4 days.
Cultural outfits. Holy shit! You're really seeing some art there. Like it's amazing. Disney's amazing. I'll say that for the millionth time.
Yikes!
I love everyone who works there.
Good morning, comrades. How's everybody doing? We got Robert and Aaron on the show, and we got Jeff.
Yo.
Hey.
So, yeah, Disney World's open. Oh, let me take care of the house cleaning really quick.
Yes,
you are listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. This show is Good Morning Comrade. You can check us out every Tuesday at 8 a.m. GoodMorningComrade.com. Get more information right over there. So what is going on, y'all?
I have things.
I mean, COVID is going on.
Yeah.
It's going on everywhere still. You might think it's not.
Yeah.
But
meet me at Disney. It's going down.
I've seen people posting on my...
meet me in the NBA bubble.
Oh, my God. So wait, the NBA is at Disney? Is that what's going on?
Bruh, is it, though?
So I don't know anything about that part.
Let me tell you, there's so much...
Roll it out for me.
Oh, this is Tuesday show, right?
Tuesday show.
There's so much going on. So, yeah, the NBA season, for no good reason except for capitalism, because they got to get that paper,
cha-ching!
Is restarting on the 30th, I think. I don't know. It's coming up. And they're all the games are being played at Disney World, which I think they're
staying. That's like some D-League. That's like some D-League stuff already, by the way. Like, they usually do that in Vegas, you know?
No.
I'm thinking Summer League.
I think it's Summer League.
I'm thinking Harlem Globetrotters.
Disney's awesome because they got, for all y'all weird Venn diagram people who listen to this show and are also like Disney World fanatics like I am, they've got them staying at like the Venetian, the Grand Floridian. They're not even staying at like the Contemporary. The Contemporary is too slummy. The Poly. And I think that's it. But they're staying in all the 5 stars. Apparently, they were already... Rajon Rondo was complaining about his room at, like, the Grand Floridian. he's like, bro, what is this, Motel 6? And people were like, that's the nicest Motel 6 in the world, then, if it is.
What a move.
Like, also, side note, Motel 6s are nice now.
Yes, absolutely. Motel 6s are great.
Wait.
It's the Super 8s you got to watch out for.
You heard it here first, folks. Motel 6s are good. They will.
Also, we should make it clear I'm not being sponsored.
They will leave the light on for you.
That guy's on, like, the guy who does those, or the guy who does the commercials. He's like on that
Tom Baudette
show. The worst. What is what is he famous for? Except for being on the worst NPR show of all time. Wait, wait, don't tell me.
I think he wrote some books. Maybe. Maybe he's a.
You voice hate actor. That show, Robert. It's so much.
Dumb. It's so dumb. Other people have done bits about it, and people that you personally hate, Aaron. So I don't want to get into it. Like I'm trying to do like my amateur comedy act. So we'll just leave it there. That Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is the worst show of all time. It's so bad. It's better. It's worse than Prairie Home Companion ever was. Prairie Home Companion sucks, but it's worse than that.
So Tom Baudette is a author, voice actor, and radio personality, primarily as a host, correspondent, and panelist for a number of shows that air on NPR. So he's an NPR guy.
Oh man, it's bad news. So back to NBA. So they got him staying in there, right? They're having to pour. I mean, I don't know what they're doing about the staff at these places because I guess they don't get to go home. I guess they're like the NBA players are like pharaohs that are just entombed with their servants.
Yeah, they get to live in coronavirus camps. They get to live in coronavirus camps.
I think you are giving them much more credit. I don't think they're having the workers stay there.
Oh, then what is even the point?
I think
that's
they just don't care whether the NBA players get COVID or not. Sense of it.
That's some black pill stuff right there.
I mean, you'd think they would make them stay at like Art of Animation or something, or like Pop Century, one of those garbage places.
All right. Okay.
Worse than
they are,
though.
They're trash. They are Motel Sixes. I mean, at least Art of Animation, there's like cool stuff.
They have
Nemo
everywhere.
Yeah, Art of Animation is fine, but like those pop ones are garbage. The All-Star ones were like, the only people that stay at All-Stars are like the cheerleaders and then they're like pedophile fan base that follows them around.
All right. Okay.
It is what it is. That's the word.
Why are we coming out hot all of a sudden? Like not even a minute and a half in and we're already talking about pedophiles. And
the kids need to know. It's a rough world.
All right, we gotta go one subject at a time because we'll get to Ghislaine Maxwell and all that stuff too.
But last week,
we've been off for a week. Well, I wanted to actually go forward on the Disney thing.
Oh, go ahead, please.
So here's an article saying that Disney Union says Disney World employees are not being tested. The union representing the Walt Disney World cast members in Florida said the company isn't testing staff for the virus before they return to work. The union represented Walt Disney World cast members in Florida said that Disney is not, this is a stock site because it's got the DIS, the abbreviation for like the stock exchange. Disney is not testing employees for coronavirus before they're returning to work, including stage performers who cannot wear masks.
Yikes. I mean, it's what I read. Why am I saying it's a rumor? It's a press release. Is that like you can't. Let's go into NBA real quick and we'll go
NBA.
Back to this because I'll lose
They're
my
connected.
Train of thought.
They're connected.
Last thing about the NBA, I saw that like high class or like high dollar call girls were like trying to get their services rendered into the NBA. They were like, hey, why don't you stop on by the Polynesian? And they're like, ew, no, I'm not trying to catch COVID. I'm out.
Wow.
So I thought that was hilarious that like NBA players are trying to get their swerve on and the ladies of the evening are just like,
shut
no.
down.
This is not a thing we're doing. Like, I'm not going to Camp COVID.
You don't get to that level of call girl and not care about your physical and mental well-being.
I think it's great. Yeah, it's people having agency in their work. I'm not even joking. I'm not even trying to be cute.
Here's a real man. I am like loving. I'm surfing a investment like a stonks website. And
is this now the Motley Fool podcast?
I have found the blackest of black pill articles from June 25th. When to buy Disney as coronavirus cases begins to spike. How can you cash in on all these people getting coronavirus by buying Disney stock? Oh my God.
Yikes.
I mean, has anybody checked on the Disney YouTubers? I mean,
that's so true. AJ's still putting out videos.
Do you think you could sign up for unemployment and be like, my content stream is dried up because of COVID?
I know for a fact. Yeah, Disney Food Blog is still putting them out. Because wow. I still get them. And it's like, wow.
Robert, yeah, can simultaneously go from watching like a Stephen Molyneux YouTube video just to laugh at him to like Disney Food Blog and be like genuinely really excited to hear about like, the new snack recommendation.
I'm like, that new cookie came out. It's got double Mickey ears and slamming, yo.
It's, man, it's a nightmare in our household. I just need everybody to know this.
No wonder you ran in New Jersey. No wonder
you ran. I can't do it anymore.
Babe, there's $100 Spirit flight. We got to go get this new Princess and the Frog sundae.
Oh my God. Come on. Right, I was like, I'm not even joking. I was like half thinking you were going to be like, let's go to Disney. Tickets are really cheap. And I was going to. I was gonna be very angry.
I mean,
go ahead.
They are renaming Splash Mountain, so.
We can talk about that too if you want. I watched our podcast brethren's, well, they really don't have a podcast, but American Johnson and Luna from Live from Vietnam. That's not what it's called, but just calling it Live from Vietnam.
Good Morning Vietnam.
I know.
Taken, I think.
But they were talking, they did a whole like Disney themed live stream last night. And I like commented on their live stream. I said, you know, the whole point, I mean, I'm being dead serious here, is like, I love Disney World because it's like virtual reality. It's a place where you go. It's like a really expensive Renaissance festival. It's like a place where you go to like get outside of your own reality for a while. It's the closest thing we're going to have to Westworld in our lifetime. And there's no point in going.
Will not last very much longer.
I know, right? But there's like no point in going. There's no point in like, you're spending all that money and you're constantly reminded that like there's a global pandemic everywhere. Like you can't interact with face characters, which are kind of the best things like ever. Like that's kind of the whole fun, is like, I'm gonna talk to the, I almost said Shrek. I'm gonna talk to Tiana for a couple minutes. We're gonna talk about beignets. Oh, like that's fun to do. Like,
yeah, but if you don't go to Disney now, like how are you gonna get that limited edition COVID merch?
Whoa. They're gonna have that. Oh, that'd be
that's
sweet.
Not on shopdisney.com.
With the mask.
Good Lord. So
that, who would have that? It'd be Darkwing Duck, right? Because he would always like put his cape over his face.
No, I'm not kidding. It's Minnie Mouse.
That's you're not kidding about COVID merch. You're dead serious.
No, I don't kid about shopping.
I know you lying.
Yeah, Minnie Mouse is saying welcome back. We're happy.
Fill some time.
Is she wearing a mask though?
If I remember correctly, yes.
There you go. Then it's good. She's teaching people how to be responsible.
Oh, Minnie Mouse is like, she's very cognizant of the health and safety of her guests at all times.
Mm-hmm. Where is this at? So I don't have to like go through like bootleg.
Oh Lord, I don't know. One of the million of internet tabs I opened today.
All right. This is all, I'm just got all this bootleg. You know what I mean? It's like the thin blue line, like Mickey ears.
Oh my God. I saw one today that was, it was a
Gaston with an ice uniform.
Oh my God.
No, it was a fake Starbucks cup with a thin blue line Mickey head. And it just said wifey in blue glitter.
It said what?
It said wifey. Like a person who was a wife.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a lot to take in.
Wow. So
it's layers.
I have so many questions.
Please ask. I can be your guide. I can be your guide to NASCAR.
Yeah, you're designated by this show as our Florida man. You are the Florida man.
Yeah, Florida man.
You're GMC's official Florida man. So right now, Florida is having just like, they reported like 15,000 cases of coronavirus that were brand new yesterday. Is everyone in Florida going to die? And if like, is that going to happen?
No.
My sister is coming to visit from Florida next weekend. And I'm
I'm
a little stressed about it, to be honest.
No, because you're also, you're discounting how rural, I always hate that word. I can never say it. You're discounting how rural Florida actually is. Florida is not densely populated. So there's going to be so many like country boy can't survive. Like,
do you know who's not going to get COVID? the Swamp Ape researcher.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of people we're talking about.
Yeah, like he lives in the Everglades and all. He only talks to snakes and swamp apes.
Yep, people who run weird roadside Florida attractions are going to be fine.
Like,
which are
like Skinner from WWF from the 90s. You remember Skinner?
Yes, yes.
One of the best.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember
Skinner's not going to get coronavirus. He's immune.
Your gimmick was just your job. Like, yeah. You were a tax man. You're a
plumber.
You're a repo man.
T.L. Hopper.
You're a plumber.
Yeah. The plumber.
You played hockey. You're an alligator man.
I remember. I can't remember. This was. Do you remember Abe Knuckleball Swartz?
Like, of course.
During the baseball strike, you know, one of the wrestlers was a baseball player who was just not playing because of the strike. His name was Abe Knuckleball Schwartz, which is a great name, by the way.
Is it the same guy as the goon or nah?
I think so. Let me have to look that
probably one up. Not. Probably not. I'm probably just talking to my butt. But yeah, it was goofballs. But yeah, Disney is simultaneously the best place on earth and then also just filled with to the brim with the worst people. I wore Aaron and I both wore on our honeymoon, we wore our Bernie shirts, but on different days. Mm-hmm. So we weren't those people. And
we're matching Bernie fans.
I know, right? We had, I thought it'd be cool for her to get, I wanted a picture outside of Hall of Presidents so I could dream my little dream. And then we got Aaron a picture in her Bernie shirt outside of Winnie the Pooh's house because it says, you know, his name is Mr. Sanders.
Whoa.
But yeah, we literally had numerous workers were just like, we like your shirt.
Yeah.
We like your shirt. And I'm just like the people that these poor people have to deal with.
Yeah.
Florida people with way too much money and time on their hands.
A lot of MAGA hats.
Ooh, yeah. It's bad. Like, why would
there's you? A lot of thin blue line Disney things.
And
it was deeply upsetting.
I don't remember Mickey ever being a cop. I can imagine Goofy being a cop, but not Mickey.
I mean, Donald was in the Navy, so that's, you know, and also he's like,
but he was really bad at it.
He hailed Hitler.
He's also a sex pest.
He hailed Hitler in a cartoon, if you remember. There was one where he was working a manufacturing line, and every now and then he would just do a Hail Hitler.
It was like a bad dream or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that cartoon.
Donald's got one of the good ones. Checkered past. Yeah. He should be canceled.
He was supporting the war effort, making bombs for the Nazis. It was one of those propaganda cartoons that was for the U.S. government. It was this could happen to you. You could turn into an anthropomorphic duck if you let the Nazis win.
Okay. All right.
But yeah.
Okay, honestly... The fact that you are so into Disney, but then also the president of Antifa.
Into ACAB. it's the duality of man, something like that, right?
Yeah. Life is going to have contradictions. It's just how it is.
I'm just picturing Mickey in my head just going, ho ho, Antifa.
It's that meme. It's a secret tool that can help us later. Mm. That Mickey Mouse meme. Really good.
Johnny is not pro. It's Disney Discord.
Oh my God.
Johnny hates cops. All right. You are listening to WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. This show is Good Morning Comrade. That is Aaron and Robert and Johnny.
Johnny.
It's a dog.
And it's been a wild time. If you don't mind changing subjects, I would like to talk about Betsy DeVos.
Let's do that.
Did y'all watch? Did y'all watch
all
that,
of my favorite topics?
Did y'all watch that interview that she did yesterday?
I did,
or it was Sunday as of release of the show. That was one of the most bizarre things I had ever seen. So, So let me just rewind a little bit. Essentially, in August, well, I guess. You know, depends on what state you're in, but in Louisiana, it's August. We're slated to return to school in the first or second week of the month. And we are having now higher numbers than we'd had ever. We're one of the top three states in new cases. And There's just all of this talk about going back to school, going back to school. And everything else is just sort of like not to be heard with. It's just sort of a given that school is going to be back in session in the middle of a pandemic. So people are going to be spending, you know, teachers and kids are going to be spending 8 hours a day in the same room, you know, expected to wear a mask and stay 6 feet away from each other. I don't know, man.
The worst part about it is envisioning the awful Old Navy back to school commercial.
Oh,
whatever, like reversible sequin masks they come out with. It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah. And so like Donald Trump and then Betsy DeVos have basically just been banging on the you must return to school, you know, drum for the past couple of weeks. And Robert, you said you saw the thing. I mean, what was your impression of the questions that the CNN reporter was asking her, and then also what Betsy DeVos said?
I mean, to be honest, I don't want to downplay like how important and how gross she is and how important it is that we should not be sending children back to school. But it was just kind of par for the course. Like, I feel like the zone has been flooded with so much nonsense. Like, it's just another bad interview from somebody who has no idea what they're talking about.
Right. But like this one was particularly scary, I found, because like the questions that the reporter were asking is that like, oh, well, what if we can't return to to school safely? What if we can't do that? And she would say, DeVos would just say, well, we just got to return to school, you know? And then then the reporter would say,
only 0.10% of kids would die.
Something like that. Like,
that's like 140,000 kids.
Yeah, and then the deaths don't even matter. Like, the thing is, I just talked to my mom about this, like, she's like, well, look, people aren't dying. I'm like, but people are not right again.
Like,
people are dying. But I mean, like, even if you get this and survive it, like, people are coming out of it and their respiratory systems are completely ruined. Destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, they'll never be right again.
And there's a lot of talk about how kids are like asymptomatic or whatever. Like, kids don't like carry the virus, or kids are not symptomatic or anything like that. And they're like have lower risks of catching coronavirus and all of these things. That's all BS. None of that stuff is true. Like, maybe they would like be more equipped to survive coronavirus, or they would be less likely to show symptoms, but they are not if you're not showing symptoms, that doesn't mean you can't transmit coronavirus to your family or to your teacher or to anyone else. So the idea, even the notion at this point of going back to school, of having, again, 20 right now, since we're in phase two, according to Louisiana, even though it's like phase two plus extra asterisk, if you're going by what the governor said on Saturday when he implemented restrictions on bars, you can't go to a bar, but you have to go back to school, or he made a mask mandate for the entire state.
Also, like, what is the point of having a Democratic governor if they're not going to do a mask mandate before?
It's John Bell. I mean, what do you expect?
Like, I'm in Jersey right now. There's been a mask mandate.
Yeah. I mean, you said a Democratic governor. This is John Bell, man.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, yeah.
The whole thing is like, and like, it's so sad because it's like, it's such an intersection of exactly all of the things that are wrong with this country. Mm-hmm. Because you have, like, I know a lot of people whose kids have gone back to camp mm-hmm. this summer. And I was really judgmental when I first started thinking about it. But, you know, it was like their kids were like legitimately depressed. Like, and there really was no way for the parents to continue work from home under the circumstances. So either a spouse had to go back into the office so they didn't have two people at home. Cause you know, like, thank God, like, luckily where I work, they are really flexible and allowing people to kind of do what they need to do. But I mean, recently I saw there was a woman who got fired because her kids were too loud and disruptive during her
Zoom calls. Yeah. Oh my God.
And it's like,
that's wild.
So it's like, yeah, I would love to sit here and like pass judgment on these like parents for like, why would you send your kid back? But I'm like, sometimes I'm like, economically, they may not have a choice.
Yeah, I was having that conversation today with somebody at work, and also my mom. I said, this feels almost like a castle siege, like this. The federal government is just trying to just wait us out to be like, we're not giving any kind of relief. We're not doing anything that we're supposed to be doing in a time of like a government should be doing in a pandemic. Y'all are on your own, and if you don't want to open, we're just going to wait you out and force states back open.
Yeah. It's a threat. I mean, it's basically an ultimatum, you know? You can either do what I'm telling you to do, or you can essentially like go bankrupt, lose your home, lose your job, lose all of these, you know, things that are critical prerequisites to staying alive in this world. And basically, yeah,
I'm interested to see, because I've heard so many. Just stop me if I'm wrong. Like, it's so difficult being a teacher that so many teachers are like constantly every day teetering on the edge of, I could just do something else.
Yeah.
And like, I, you know, wouldn't be surprised if coronavirus, having to teach during coronavirus, like in person, is going to be the thing that pushes a lot of people over and decide to not come back. And
again, that's like,
and you know who loves that?
Betsy DeMoss.
Teach for America, the new teacher project, Teach NOLA, all these groups that just want to bring in teachers that are not certified who will be compliant. You know, a lot of these more like, I mean, again, I'm going to talk more trash about, you know, AmeriCorps, but essentially that's what it is. They're going to send in these, these essentially scab workers in this case, to replace the real teachers.
I hung out with one of my really good friends who was in my AmeriCorps program with me. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen her in a little while, and we were just kind of reminiscing. And she asked me, oh, do you think your AmeriCorps program prepared you for the kind of work you do now? And I was like, what prepared me to have zero faith in any sort of nonprofit system? Like,
right.
I was like, I was hungover pretty much that entire year. And I remember, and I hadn't thought about this in so long, but like the specific philosophy under my program was, oh, we're going to take the lowest achieving children and have them be in our program because like, oh, they're going to be able to get like extra time and attention. And I was like, okay, three of the people I worked with were like pretty much high, just like all the time. I was hungover frequently and also like constantly dating everybody within the circle. So like my attention was elsewhere. None of us had teaching degrees. What on earth? What on earth?
Yeah, it just looks good.
Look forward to after COVID, I guess.
It does look good to say, oh, look at these kids. They're getting extra time and all of these extra interventions or whatever. But I mean, it's just checking a box. It's just saying, well, we did this thing. They don't care what the actual outcome of it is. They're just sort of like creating their own markers for what the inputs are and the outputs or whatever, which I'm not even getting into how you can measure outputs, right? I'm not even getting into like measuring what somebody knows in education, because that's extremely fraught, because then you get testing. But beyond that, it essentially is just saying, look at that. We've punished these children and made them do extra homework, you know, essentially.
No, 100%. Like, that's the open conspiracy. That's like the big open secret is that you make these jobs like teacher, like teaching, and you just underpay. So that way nobody really wants to work these jobs. And then it lowers the standards and completely breaks the profession. And then you go, oh, it's broken. Got to take it over. Just like cops. Cops the same way. You just pay them so low. So that way the standards become, the only people who want to work the job are psychos. And then you can be like, oh, well, it's broken. We need like, you know, The only people who want to work this job are psychos, so we just need to hire more psychos, I guess.
Yeah, or they can even, like, and this goes, and I would not want to, like, do the same kind of thing. Like I'm definitely pro-defund the police, but I'm not defund education. But, like, right. The way that, like, we have, like, tons of money going into the education system, and they constantly talk about, oh, we spend X million number of dollars in this district, in this state, in this country on education stuff, but where does that money go? That money goes right. to curriculum, that goes to new teacher project, Teach for America, that goes to testing, that goes to all of these things that aren't, I mean, technically the teachers, like, as a group will have the largest chunk of that budget because they have so many of them. If you look at a school district, at the same time, if you look at everything else that isn't directly related to compensation to teachers, it is all just given away, just chopped off, given away to, you know, Pearson or whatever textbook manufacturer, whatever, you know, curriculum associates, all these companies that just say, hey, we have the secret sauce that's going to get you, you know, the high test scores. You know, we are going to make your district the one that's going to be the highest achieving district out of all the districts. And this is aligned with Common Core and all of this other crap.
Sure.
Like that's been something I've been enjoying seeing like recently is along with the defund the police and abolitionment like conversations. I've been seeing a lot of people talking about how racist and classist the fact that our public schools are funded through property tax are. So that like, cause I mean that you're basically setting number one, you're setting up inequality when you look back at the history of like redlining and all the barriers to home ownership and kind of all of that in our country, but then you're also perpetuating inequality. And then when you think about someplace like Baton Rouge and East Baton Rouge, which for those of us who aren't from Louisiana and don't know where those places are and hadn't heard about this, East Baton Rouge is kind of the wealthier, that's where all the white people live in Baton Rouge, and that's where all the rich people live, and they decided they were tired of their tax dollars going to fund the schools in downtown Baton Rouge, which tend to be poorer and blacker, and decided to secede and start their own city.
Their own independent school district. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So basically, they're using kind of school quality. And, you know, I think the idea of, oh, we want our kids to get the best education possible. Like, I think that is a really difficult argument to counter because it is so deeply emotional and it's so deeply, I mean, it's not when you look at it factually.
Well, but I mean, like, it's impossible to argue with like, oh, actually, I don't want your kids to have the best education possible. That's sort of like the rhetorical trick that they're playing. If you take the opposite side of that argument, you're a jerk.
It's hard to point out any sort of ulterior motives. Because I mean, even if you look back at the busing fight in this country, people who otherwise talked a really solid liberal integration talk, like refuse to bus their children. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's this idea that like, oh, when kids are involved, it's like a cover. Yeah. And so you can get a lot of really problematic, really racist, really classist stuff passed under the guise of, oh, the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not, you know, I don't care about anything else. I just care about my child. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a really hard, it's not impossible, obviously. And especially now I'm really seeing some of that discourse break through and I'm really here for it, but it's really insidious. And like, and so that's why we talk, obviously, because you're a teacher, we talk about these kind of issues on this podcast and the show like a lot.
I won't shut up about it.
Do that is because the education system is a macro or microcosm of everything else going on in the world. It's you know, special education, like the issues with that, like ableism, you know, the segregation in schools, like schools are segregated in this country. We talk about the school to prison pipeline. There's like all of these different civil rights and civil justice issues that kind of all distill back to schooling and schools and how do we do this? And so it's really important. And I know that, you know, I think a lot of our listeners are probably younger and they probably don't have kids. And this is like a very abstract thing for a lot of people, but it's important. It's super important to be aware of and involved in.
It's ground zero in a lot of ways for the entire fight. Like, because right now what has happened in our society is that we have essentially boiled down public services to two different things. And public services, I'm using sort of loosely here, right? Let me pause for station ID real quick, and then I'll get to that. You're listening to WHIVLP New Orleans, 102.3. This is Good Morning Comrade. Jeff, Aaron, and Robert are on the show. We are talking about education. Imagine that. But anyway, so like essentially the two biggest, and it's not the only things, but they're definitely the huge ways that resources get like distributed and meted out, especially to children, are schools and cops, right? Those are the two big ones. And essentially the fact that like in schools are providing meals for children, social work services, in certain cases,
at least they should be. They often don't.
Right. When that's the idea. There's an assumption that this is happening in the schools, right? And mental health services, all of this stuff is happening in the schools. That's the sort of framing of it. And then the sort of other side of it is discipline, the state, you know, punishment apparatus that exists. And that's how you get this sort of school to prison pipeline. If these are the only two things that matter within the society, or that's the way that the two access points for either resources or, you know, whatever the cops do, then that's that pipeline is a very natural progression because it's a very short pipeline, right? And that's sort of how we end up in this situation, because we don't have, and this is a part of why that insidious language that you and Robert were just talking about, they're able to leverage the fact that schools are serve lunches to kids. And one of the primary ways that kids get their food, if they don't have any other way to get it, is school lunches, right? Why did you not want to open the schools? That's where kids get their school lunches. That's where kids get their mental health services. That's where they see their social worker, you know? So essentially they've made school, in this sense, all things to children. And also it's babysitting for the parents, right? They've made it everything so critical to the society to make it even function. And like,
it's not even just school. It's the after school programs, the sports programs. It's, you know, whatever else. It's, you know, a kid, cause that's how my AmeriCorps program was. Mm-hmm. They had school till 3:30, and then my hungover self came and did an after school program until 7:30. Mm-hmm. Those kids were in school for like a 12 straight hours. And so, yeah, like it is, you know, that's an adjustment. If the parent is used to, or, you know, works, it's hard. Mm-hmm. But also the school lunches
trash
makes me so angry, because out of anything that we're talking about, that is like the most easily remedable, like, thing. Like, just give people food. Like, just give people food. Just give everybody more food stamps. Like, it's just so
everybody easy. Deserves to eat.
Like, yeah. And it's like, it should be the most uncontroversial thing in the literal entire world that like, hey, I'm hungry, I should be able to eat. And yet it's not. And so like this idea that we have to keep schools open. And so, and many schools in, at least in New Orleans, did stay open. Like they had their teachers doing meal pickup and drop off and, you know, all this stuff that's like very much not in a teacher's, you know, not in their job description, although I'm sure many of them were happy to help. But
right.
Yeah, when I'm like, hey, that's like, honestly, just make the grocery stores give people food. Like, I don't understand. The food is there. It's not like oil. We don't have to extract it. It's like there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, like you mentioned as well, teachers are happy to help. I've seen more teachers involved in like a lot of these mutual aid causes that since the COVID pandemic took off, we have an entire group of educators who are interested in doing mutual aid for one another and for their families and for their kids and all this other stuff for the community in general. And the problem becomes, and this is something that came to light and really somebody put a really fine point on this, a gentleman by the name of Jamal Taylor, teachers basically want to go along to get along, and that's not a bad instinct, but it's so exploitable. It's so exploitable because we want to make things work because we actually care. But if you're arguing against somebody who doesn't care and they don't give a damn about those kids and they only care about getting their stocks up, the schools back open, you know, they don't care about getting PPE to the kids or whatever. If they don't care about that and teachers are constantly moving to accommodate, then essentially you can just say, oh, well, you know, we're all the way over here. We know you're gonna try and like slide into the middle or go along to get along, or you'll capitulate entirely. And so we can just roll you up and do whatever we want.
That's honestly, like, not to be super conspiracy theorist about it, but look at who had the most successful strikes over the last, like, let's say even 10 years. It's been teachers.
Yeah.
Teachers have been able to strike and they've had the most success with their strikes. And it's
because they didn't.
Having teachers. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but like, it's because they are the ones in Chicago and LA and Arizona, Oklahoma and West Virginia, to different extents, Oakland, also Denver, went on strike as well. But essentially, when you have people who have very clearly articulated positions and demands, and you follow through on them, and you can see this in the various results from the strikes, if you follow through on them, then you can actually get wins. But the thing is, if you're playing that capitulation game, or if you're playing that little, like, you know, the middle of the road and trying to go along to get along game, you're going to get crushed. You're going to get destroyed. So I'm
like, you know, Betsy DeVos, she's been a huge proponent of the charter school system. You know, she's been very anti-teacher, pro, you know, very, the language she uses is very strongly like, oh, the teacher should just work harder. Right. But I mean, again, like, conspiracy theory me is thinking like, oh, of course, want to force schools back in session as soon as possible, because when school's in session, it's harder to get people on the side of striking teachers, because again, that's a huge disruption to, you know, working families, mm-hmm. By design. Mm-hmm. If teachers are back in session, they're often, you know, like it's a high stress, highly mentally engaged job. Like, it's hard to think about kind of organizing when you're spending all day thinking about, oh, why is so-and-so not grasping the concept? Oh, what is my next, when's my next in-service? Like, oh, I have to get all of my lesson plans done. Like, there's all these things that take up brain power. I mean, we've talked about this. It's part of the reason why we think that maybe George Floyd's murder resonated so much deeper, or at least sparked stuff more than, let's say, Eric Garner or Philando Castile or like any of the other multitudes of people who've been murdered by police.
And there was tons of energy behind those other ones too.
And they have time, and they're rested. Even if they're stressed, you know, it's like, okay, I don't have to spend an hour and a half commuting every day to my work. Right. Even if they are working from home, like, oh, I can wake up at 9 a.m. Oh man, that means I'm like I'm an hour ahead here in Jersey. So I've been like waking up at 9 a.m. and still being able to make my like normal work time. It's been great. Mm-hmm. I'm able to focus on a lot more stuff other than work. But it's, you know, Betsy DeVos, she comes off as this like folksy, kind of stupid, like, oh, we need guns in schools because of bears person. But like, that is a cultivated that is a cultivated ruse to make us not see the deeper, more insidious, more evil thing she's doing.
And it's always good to remember that her brother is Eric Prince, who is the founder of Blackwater.
She's an heir to Amway.
Yeah.
The king of all multi-level marketing schemes. Mm-hmm. Like, that family is evil to their core. And I don't say that lightly, because I'm normally like, oh,
I can see the good in people.
Evil people. But like, if anybody's going to be evil, it's that family. Mm-hmm. And they do not have the best interests in the country in mind. And do not think that they are trying to make our children go back to school, putting their lives at risk, their families' lives at risk, their teachers' lives at risk, their community lives at risk for altruistic reasons.
Right.
They want them to go back so that the focus is off of potential organizing, so that parents have to figure things out. Like, I'm like incensed. I'm incensed.
And here's the other thing too. The other thing is, once, like, and this is why they're going so unbelievably hard on get the kids back to school right now. They're basically making it seem and doing like these BS concessions that are like, oh, we'll do hybrid models or we'll do whatever. Once you get those kids and those teachers back in school, they are not coming out. The only opportunity to make sure that we keep everybody safe is before we go back in. Because once you're in, then you realize, well, we're in it this deep. You know, we might as well make the best of it. And people will adapt. And if there's one thing that we have seen during this crisis, is that people have been able to adapt to this situation, make it the new normal, and just want to go back to the bars, or just want to go back to whatever in their life. They want things to be like it was before. It's almost like when people were thinking like, oh, we want things to be like they were before Trump. Right. But now it's like they want things to be like they were before coronavirus. And the only way that that could happen, the only way that we can go back to the world before, is one, we take a long time to actually handle this thing, or B, you know, 300,000 people are going to die. You know, that's the two ways. That's the two paths. There's no in between.
And what's going to happen with schools specifically is that the parents who have the means to do so are going to keep their kids home.
Correct.
Because they're going to be worried about their health. And they're going to be, so what's more than likely going to happen is you're going to have like wealthy neighborhoods. The moms are going to band together. They're going to hire a private teacher, and they're going to have their own little homeschool schools. And so what's going to happen is the public schools are not going to be able to make their quorum, or what, you know, whatever it is. Whatever it's called, and schools are going to start to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to swoop right into those schools?
Charters.
It's going to be enough. It's
the easiest thing to call in the world. It's the most obvious thing that there is on the planet, isn't it?
It's like watching a slow moving iceberg, and it's like, just don't hit the iceberg.
It does feel like the Titanic.
We're the Titanic, but we're all like uglier, and it's like not as glamorous.
I'm sorry. Don't.
Nobody's gonna be playing us out. It's just gonna be sad and cold and awful.
Look, if you're gonna say that we're
all
ugly,
it's like the Titanic, but that movie doesn't follow. It follows like the people that are like in the yachts, like in the big lounging chairs, and not the people like shoving coal.
Yeah.
Except for Leonardo DiCaprio, because his beauty transcends class.
You're not 19. You don't want to undo you.
I would normally take offense to that, but that is accurate.
Look, when you say that we're uglier, don't speak for me, okay? I'm much more beautiful than all of those people.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, Jeff is much more beautiful than Leo DiCaprio.
I mean, that's a pile of crap.
Much uglier than Kate Winslet.
That's a pile of crap because I'm better looking than you, Jeff.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
You are listening to WHIV-LP New Orleans 102.3. This is Good Morning Comrade. Scott has dropped into the show. Unwelcome. We also have Aaron and Scott.
Literally dropped in.
Came in to blindside Jeff with some insults.
He's like, Jeff, you're ugly. Bye.
To dramatically,
later, guys. Somebody play me out.
To dramatically change subjects on everything except for Titanic, there was actually a new video. Y'all ever watched Lindsay Ellis's video? She did one on Titanic, talking about how it was actually good. The movie was actually good.
The movie is very good.
Uh-huh.
I will not stand for Titanic slander.
Why is it good?
There will be none here, so you're fine.
Why is Titanic good?
Billy Zane's good in it.
Billy Zane's a great villain.
Billy Zane is amazing in it.
Billy Zane is a fantastic villain all the time.
Because he just like
really,
because he just kind of is that guy.
Billy Zane. He was also in some like Africa movie.
Whoa.
Or the Phantom.
Or like.
The Phantom.
The Phantom of Africa.
Like that. No, yeah, the Phantom is like an old superhero from like our.
Oh, he was. The Phantom. I did see that movie. Yeah.
Dude, I think it was like a radio serial or something.
Yeah. But it definitely was a comic too. Mm-hmm. It was like in the funny pages.
Didn't he like date and or marry Claire Danes? Did I make that up?
I don't know.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Maybe I think she maybe cheated on him with Billy Crudup, but I could be like.
Not up on my Billy Zane.
Man, we're really getting
a lot
deep
of Billys.
Into, like,
a lot of Billys 1999 here.
People magazine, like.
I'm feeling pretty good about it, to be honest. I'm back home at my mom's house, so I am like fully reverting.
Mm-hmm. Did you find like all your old issues of People magazine?
Are your posters still up on the walls?
Well, it's not my old house, but I really am. My dynamic is very much. Hey, mom, can you buy me some more yogurt? Thanks.
Nice.
That was something I said today. To her.
Did she buy it?
She did. Nice. And I'm really.
Hold on. You're telling me you won this local election and you're not even in town?
She won in absentia.
Is that legal?
Oh. Yeah.
Is that legal?
As long as you don't get caught, it's legal.
Yeah.
I don't think there's laws in New Orleans, actually.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a developer.
Are you drinking White Claws right now?
I mean, not as we speak, but like I've drank a lot of White Claws since
From what I hear, there ain't no laws when you're drinking claws.
And that is accurate, except you still have to wear the mask mandate is still in effect even when you're drinking claws.
How do you drink it through the mask? Is that how you do it?
No, but
you have a straw.
You have to have your mask like adjacent to you.
You drinking claws with straws?
I do actually drink my claws with straws, but a silicone straw, reusable, like, because I care about the environment.
Oh, you're so, that's so progressive.
It is.
We have a ton of straws. We have a ton of those kinds of straws at this house, though, I will say.
You make fun of silicone straws?
No, we have those kinds of straws here.
Oh, I was like about to be really mad at you because they're really great.
I do make fun of them, but I also use them, so.
They're the best.
If you can't make fun of yourself, then who can you make fun of?
Thank
right?
you. For bringing that up, because we literally got, what are we, like 45 minutes in and not one single person congratulated me for winning an election.
I haven't gotten to it. Yeah, I'll talk about that.
Oh, man, I was here for like 10 minutes.
I know. Scott, he came in, called Jeffrey ugly, and then congratulated me. So I'm like feeling pretty good about this interaction.
That's like hitting for the cycle when you're playing baseball.
Yeah. This is like the This Show version of the EGOT. Just
like, what's the EGOT? What's that?
Emmy, Grammy, Tony? Oscar, Tony.
Okay. Dang.
You know those guys?
Tony Danza?
Yeah, man.
Wait, are you kidding? You don't actually know what he's talking about?
I think he might have won a Tony.
Oh, he's winking at me.
For who's the boss?
Jeff, that doesn't really translate to radio.
It doesn't.
Who is the boss?
Thank you for bringing it up, Scott. I did win an election. I came in 14th place, and there were 14 spots open.
Oh, so, right in under the
like
under the
swimwear. Cannot wait to I'm just gonna like bust in and just be like, y'all are some Democratic neoliberal shills. There's a new sheriff in town, and then I'm abolishing that sheriff. No, to be honest, I was not anticipating winning because I did like barely any campaigning and there was a lot of people running. There was like, I think like 35 or 36 people and there was only 14 slots. So I was not paying attention to the returns until one of my friends texted me to see if I was was looking at them and I said no. And he had then advised me to lock my Twitter account.
Why?
It was like a pretty solid decision.
Why?
So
I'm never locking. I'm never locking.
You're about to do it.
I'm never locking my Twitter account ever.
I did. I blocked it, and then I deleted some of my more questionable tweets, and then I re-upped it.
You deleted.
If I had a Twitter, I wouldn't lock it.
How many tweets
Jeff, didn't you win too? Because you were like unopposed.
How many tweets did you have to delete?
I told Neera Tanden to go F herself, so I deleted that one.
What? That's like classic.
Ruder than need be.
I mean, I would contest that that is illegal. That should be in the public record. You're an elected official.
I feel that. And then I was like thinking about changing my like display name, which I did. And I was like gonna make it something more professional because it was a cadabra letter rip, which like felt like maybe not super professional. But then I just changed it to slide to the left. No cops this time.
Oh my god.
That's pretty good.
That feels like less professional. But it's I feel like people should just understand what they're getting.
It's a reference.
I feel like that that's like the perfect mix of like current day humor and songs from 90s weddings.
Wow. Which is basically that is my sense of humor.
Yeah, that's it. 100%.
Yeah.
As someone who lives with me, Robert's like, yes, that is.
Yes, 100%. They songs play the from 90s weddings, songs from 2020 weddings.
They played that the Cha Cha slide at y'all's wedding, didn't they?
Yes.
No, I mean, I said that.
Why wouldn't they have?
I only asked that question rhetorically.
Oh, wait. No, I'm thinking of the other one. I'm stroking. Remember that song, I'm stroking?
Oh,
what?
That's the one I'm thinking of. No.
That's what the old blind dirty blues man.
Yeah, great song. That was the one awesome. I was thinking about.
It's a good song.
Classic.
Yeah.
That's I ironically like Clarence Carter.
Everybody was like everybody's talking about like celebrate good times. That's not from here. Like if you go to a wedding around here, you're listening to
Clarence Carter.
Yeah. And the electric
juvenile, right?
There's always the electric slide too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Woogie woogie woogie.
That one of my friends married a Moroccan man, and his family all came in from Morocco, and they were like pretty observant Muslims. And so like half the wedding was like super like cool Moroccan music. And then the other half, because like my friend is from Maryland. And so and the other half was basically just like the wobble. Just like,
oh yeah, there you go,
the wobble.
That's the good stuff.
Amazing.
So Scott, what have you been up to?
I've been playing NBA 2K20, and I went to work the other day to help clean up my old just do some deep cleaning at the pizza place.
Nice.
And it was nice to see all my other coworkers because I do enjoy my job, which is not cool to say, I guess.
Which, and that was the day where John Bell just decided, we were
literally in the kitchen, like washing all this stuff.
Yeah. We're going to redefine what phase two is. And then we're going to like make sure that we have a mask ban statewide and no bars actually. So does that mean that y'all can't open?
Oh no, we're just going to wait till phase two comes around. I mean, I hope we're going to be open for that, but if so, we've already outlasted K-Paul. Which closed down.
I know, that's so sad.
Whoa,
it closed
no
down
way.
On Paul Perdue's birthday.
Today.
Dang.
Today.
Like so, done, so Scott came and hung out a couple of days last week, and we were like literally just like watching, like we were making jambalaya and like watching Paul Perdue videos to do it. And then like all of a sudden that comes and hits us like a ton of bricks. Oh my God. I
mean, it's like we shouldn't even brought it up. We cursed it with our dumb.
We did
cooking.
This. We made it happen. We killed K-Paul.
I have to make myself feel important, so I feel like I'm the one who put the stake in the heart of K-Paul by watching his videos a week before.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Paul Perdue was like, along with like Julia Child and stuff, he was like one of the OG like celebrity chefs.
Oh yeah,
before Justin, like celebrity chefs were a thing.
Justin Wilson, he'd be on. My grandma used to watch.
That dude is such
Paul
a faker.
Paul Perdue and Justin Wilson on PBS every Sunday.
Yep.
That dude is such a faker, though.
Yeah, he's a fake Cajun boy.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not in the chef world.
He's a sea cadet.
He was doing a character.
He just talks like my Spanish teacher from high school.
Oh yeah, he's a Mr. Catois. Shout out Mr. to Mr. Catois.
We have to bleep that out. We don't want to get sued by
whatever
his first name was.
You can't get sued if it's true. Truth is an absolute defense to libel.
I feel like that's not true.
Well, yeah,
that is true.
They did truly sound alike.
I don't know. This guy is like that guy doesn't seem like it would be something that would get us in trouble, but maybe.
I feel like you don't sue people to win. You sue people to like make them have to spend all their money to defend.
Well, we don't have any money, so.
Well, that doesn't mean they can't.
Elon Musk, it, my God.
That doesn't mean they can't sue you just so you don't have money. Like,
yeah, that's
what being American is.
Ask Gawker.
Sue anybody at any time.
Anyway,
yeah, like if we don't have anything, they'll just like take our rights or like our property rights or whatever the hell.
Nah, we'll be fine.
Yeah, but I mean, realistically,
he'll never hear it.
Now
he'll never hear it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, only like 4 people listen to the show anyway, mm-hmm. or 3 of them.
So many people listen to the show, including some of my friends. And also, like I said in the last episode, my mom will get around to listening to it because I did download it on her phone.
There you go. Nice.
She has no choice now.
Yeah.
Nice.
She said she wants to. I'm not.
Here's what you do. You just press play and then exit out of everything. That way, when she like opens up the application or just like presses play on her headphones, it'll just start playing on Mac.
Whoa.
I'm like honestly just trying to remember which episodes I like was drinking too much red wine for so I can like not have her listen to those.
Maybe play the ones you're not on.
Yeah, to be honest. Yeah. I'm not drinking red wine today, but I am drinking Tom Collins.
Yeah. Nice. Well, anyway, you can listen to Good Morning Comrade every Tuesday on WHIV FM. We also have releases on goodmorningcomrade.com. You can get more information about all the stuff that we do. Goodmorningcomrade.com, where you can find out more information on how to support the show. So, anything y'all want to say on the way out?
Play NBA 2K20. It's for free on PlayStation Plus.
Oh, it's another unpaid ad. Good, good, good.
Man.
Yeah.
You don't know that he's not getting paid.
I don't, yeah.
That's true, I don't.
Hey, man, you don't know what kind of side gigs I got.
It's very true.
I could be making billions off of this show. I'm not.
He really is the funniest of us.
Parody.
Like, let's be real.
Wow.
Oh, I do have a quick story to tell.
Let's do it. Let's save it for the Thursday.
Okay. Oh, you got it. Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Well, anyway, love you, everybody.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, bye. We're up against it. Bye.